It's a warm Sunday afternoon in Monaco, and let's imagine you're Lewis Hamilton. I'm pretty sure you know who he is. You've just won the legendary Monaco Grand Prix, and you're listening to the national anthem on the podium. Halfway through the race, your engine lost a significant amount of power, so you had to fight all the way to the end to keep your position. Your knees are still trembling from the adrenaline, and you feel relieved and exhilarated. You celebrate by spraying champagne and drinking it from your shoe. In the meantime, you can't stop thinking about where to throw the party. Will your yard be big enough? Or should we rent out a casino? However, there's something more important to complete before continuing the revelry. Debriefing the race with the engineers. You enter the room where almost 60 people have taken their place behind their laptops, ready to go through all the details. How were the tires? How did the engine perform? How was the race strategy? And in the factory, another 45 engineers participate in the meeting remotely. During the race, they monitored and processed data from dozens of sensors on the cars, allowing them to advise strategic decisions in real time. Over the course of 9 months, 10 teams, 20 drivers compete during 21 races across the world. Even though the spotlight is on the superstar drivers, it is what happens behind the scenes that enables a Formula One team to maximize agility and innovation in their quest for success. I recently had the opportunity to take a look behind the scenes of an Agile conference, and I found these practices being applied. And to talk about agility and its prevalence and importance today, I have Jatinder Verma, who is an Agile Transformation Consultant at Bosch India.
Hi Jatinder, welcome to the Elbow Grease podcast.
Perfect, great. Thank you for allowing me to be in.
Anytime, Jatinder. How are you? How are things? How are you coping with the pandemic? How's 2021 treating you so far?
Yeah, so 2021 is kind of coming up with a lot of hopes. There's a lot of self-reflection with the pandemic. And I think what I have done in the recent past is to refactor myself. And I think I have improved my velocity, if I can say so.
In perfect agile terms.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get going, Jatinder. To perfect. Start with,
yeah.
Especially for those who don't know agile, I would like to start with that question. What is agile actually, Jatinder? I keep hearing this, a lot of buzzwords, as you said, which is velocity, burn down charts, burn up charts. What is it all about?
See, basically, for me, agile is actually awareness, self-awareness. So if in any of the conversation, I have made someone more self-aware about where they are coming from, I think I have made them agile. So this is on a personal front. Now, if we can make projects self-aware about what it is, why it is there, what value it is adding to the customer, we possibly may have made the project agile and its dynamics agile. Yeah. And same way for the corporates. If we say that corporates are agile, that means they know where they are. First of all, so this is most important. You have to know where you are. Yeah. We've had examples of Nokia and Kodak wherein they did not know where they are. And that's why they were wiped out from the market. So for me, agile is self-awareness, understanding where you are. Because once you know where you are, then you can find out where you have to go and whether the journey that you're taking is going to help you to move there where you want to go. Yeah, and of course, there are different methods to make you self-aware. In projects, we have different agile methodologies like Scrum, Kanban, Safe, Less, That. And these are predominantly to make you aware about where the project is. How is it faring wherein we want to make project go to this destination? How are we faring there? Yeah. So this is about it for me, Sharad.
A very interesting take. And which brings me to my next question, which is, see, I've seen senior executives just, you know, they get very excited about Agile, right?
Yeah,
they decided to roll it out across the organization, which is what happened in our case as well. But however, sometimes the teams are not ready, they're not prepared, they don't know where to start. How do we go about it if we want to implement Agile within certain teams? Because Agile, what I've read is, Agile has started somewhere in the middle of a waterfall. Is that true, first of all?
Yes, yeah, Agile has been there for, let's say, a couple of decades now. I mean, as a principles and manifestos. So they have been there for a couple of decades. But now if we true and talk in terms of true agility, because when we say Agile, somehow we also mean Agile mindset. It has always been there from thousands of years, right? So, and we have now different methods to help us be Agile. So I think agility has always been there during the waterfall, before there as well. And in some projects, we do implement agility in the waterfall projects as well. So coming back to your question about the leadership, I think you've asked the question that if the leadership right. is not willing, but mm-hmm. the teams are willing, then how do we take it forward, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And this reminds me of a beautiful quote from Deming Sharad. So there was an anecdote wherein Deming has invited some leaders to the assembly line to watch the assembly line, to see how the assembly line is faring. And he has sent the invitation card to the leaders. And in the invitation card, it says that if you cannot come, send no one, because that responsibility cannot be delegated. So if we have to implement agility wherein leaders need to be there, they should have a role to play. They're not only be supporting agile methodologies, but they should be leading agile methodology. So it becomes difficult if only teams are implementing agile methodologies without leaders having a stake. So we should start, first of all, having some kind of a training with the leaders, making leadership agreement that what is their role to play, how can they support. So there should be a clear responsibility from the leaders as well, Sharad.
Now, for me, the core essence of agile is that you're not locked into a plan from the start, but you can vary as you go along. Does it actually help the team when we constantly keep changing the targets?
Yeah, so basically it depends what is our situation. If we constantly keep on changing the target, does the situation requires us to constantly keep on changing the target? See, for example, if we actually have a target of going to Mysore from Bangalore, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure you must have also enjoyed the journey, whether mm-hmm. you go from a Kanakpura road or a Mysore road. But our target is to go to Mysore, right?
Right.
Now, either you know completely what is the way, what is the fastest way, and I know that this is how I can reach faster, then you possibly better follow that route. And you know it, you have traveled there before, and you will reach there faster. Or you do not know it, right? You have to ask someone that which route to take, when to take left, when to take right. So then you evolve based on what you know. And that's why there are situations, there are projects wherein you completely know how do I execute this project, because I've been doing this in and out in the past, for example, manufacturing related projects. And then that's where we find them in a simple region of Stacey matrix. And it's a good idea to just follow waterfall, just follow the standard route to reach where the target is. However, if we do not know, right, if we don't know the scope and we do not know the route, we can just being guided by some people and then we evolve as we go along, then it's just a matter of evolving, understanding, learning, and becoming more richer in terms of experience, and then move to Mysore.
Which brings me to another front where Because we're too flexible in Agile, because I've also heard this a lot from the top management saying that you guys are too flexible.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I've also seen, having worked with them, is that I don't think conventional project management methodology says that we are against any new changes. And in fact, what they do is that they show us the effect of a certain change which is being made. And I particularly feel also the Agile projects don't do or don't show us the effect of a change that well. So what's really special about Agile?
Yeah, okay. See, basically, Agile gives you a structure. Agile methods gives you a structure to manage the change effectively. You are right. The, you know, even in conventional projects, you can actually deal with the effect of a change. But Agile gives you just a framework, and it does not restrict you to add on top of the framework, which is about just managing the effect of a change. So when you are, let's say, constructing a building, right, you just have a dhancha, that's what we say in Hindi, a framework, and you build on top of the framework. You know, what kind of interiors you want to add, it is up to you. What kind of kitchen you want to have, what kind of shelves do you want to have, what kind of bed you would like to set up, what foldings or furniture you would like to bring in. It is all up to you. You just have that framework, which is stable, and then you add on top of this stable framework to be effective for the context that is relevant for you. So, as in a nutshell, right, what I'm saying is Agile gives you a structure to manage the change. And on top of it, you can have all these knowledge areas that make sense for the conventional projects as well.
Right, right. And I want to stay on this topic a little because I want to pick your brain, especially in terms of costs and estimations, right? And particularly the analogy that you brought up in building a house. Now, let's say I'm building a house and I have a definitive plan of having 3 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, a hall and a kitchen. I know what the kind of cost that I'm signing up for with the deterministic approach. And by that, I mean a conventional or a traditional project management approach. As that person, is it possible to tell me what is the cost going to look like? And especially, when is it going to be ready? Or is that too flexible? Or is that not too deterministic?
Yeah, so it is possible with the rough order of magnitude, with some clarity that what do we want to build first? Yeah. So basically the pitch from Agility is to be honest and transparent to the customer and showing the problems that we are currently facing, right? So for example, if you have decided to build your house pre-COVID times than now, yeah, the context possibly could have changed. Now, let's say if you have fixed up the cost pre-COVID times and the builder has started building it, and because of the pandemic, you wanted to have some structural changes. Now, in a conventional sense, it may not be possible because all the material is being ordered and you know, the cost of change is going to be huge that way. However, from an Agile perspective, if I am building a house for you and I am the contractor for you, I am going to be transparent in terms of my approach, especially for the first few deliverables that I'm managing with you. And as I pick other deliverables, I actually have a sync up with you to see what kind of clarity you would like to bring in by the time the context has changed, right? So if the COVID time is there, then you might want to put some more structural changes, and I'm open to accommodate that change because that work has not been started yet. And I'm going iteration by iteration to take feedback from you, to take the feedback from a already evolved context and willing to change based on the way Agile works. So basically, in a nutshell, what I'm saying is it's going to be cost effective in a long run, because we are evolving based on the market change versus if we are very clear and we know that this is the scope, this is the cost, then anyway, we are in simple region. Maybe the Agile may not be required.
So what I'm also seeing is that you will be delivering in the order of exact value, right? That's what I see, at least with Agile, what happens, because you're not sticking to a true Gantt chart plan saying that I will get this by a certain date and you will have this, whether it's important to you or not, is something not that we can debate through a deterministic approach. So I see what you mean. Now, what I also want to check and understand from you is that how many deliverables can we have? And what if I want everything? Is that possible? Because I typically also see teams organizing themselves around 2 week or 4 week sprint time scale. What is the right approach? How do we choose on the right amount of sprints?
Okay, so you've asked multiple questions. So let me just take one by one. So
yes.
One, you said, is everything possible?
Yes,
right?
Yes. In terms of deliverables, how do I know, how do I pick and choose what do I want in a certain sprint?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that reminds me actually of one of the Agile principle, which is the principle number 10. And it says, simplicity is essential, which means that the art of maximizing the amount of work not done is essential. So what it essentially says is, do we need everything? Or if we have a lot of ideas, which we call everything, then how can we choose only those ideas which are relevant and make sense for the users? Let me give you an example. We have Excel sheet, right? And everybody uses Excel sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly you or me might be using 2 to 5% of the feature that Excel sheet offers, right?
Yep.
As compared to a WhatsApp, and we might be using, let's say, 90% of the features of WhatsApp. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to say is that Excel sheet may have done everything, whatever is going to be there in their backlog, right? Versus a WhatsApp, which may have only chosen those features which make sense for the users. Right. So we have to definitely prioritize what makes sense for the user to make it simple. And Apple way of saying that is less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's possibly an answer of your question about everything. Can you just tell me again, just part of it? Yeah.
Yes. So the other part to the question that I also asked was, how do we choose on what is our sprint time scale? How do I know whether it's a 2 week sprint? How do I decide? Or do we have to try it out?
Yeah, right. So basically, we have to ask ourselves whether 1 week or 2 week or 3 week or 4 week makes sense to deliver something which could be utilized by our customer or user so as to give the feedback. So this is the question in our context that we have to ask. Now, the answer could be 2 weeks for a legacy application or 4 weeks for some kind of integrated parking assistance system or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that answer is going to give us clarity whether we have to come together for how many weeks to define our sprint?
In many large organizations, Chatinder, documentation is absolutely vital. And to add to it, bureaucracy is another challenge where there's a lot of gatekeeping. How do we ensure that we have just enough, but at the same time, move quickly as well? Because that is the essence of Agile, right? In 2 weeks' time, I have to ship my deliverables. I also have to make sure that there's minimum documentation. I have to deal with bureaucracy. How do we, in your experience, how do we move across these barriers? What advice do you have for us?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think that's a pretty relevant question. And you've chosen the right words, bureaucracy, documentation. How do we maneuver ourselves towards adding more value to the customer with all that environment already built in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's I think, very common scenario nowadays. Now, and that's where I personally see that we are kind of more aligned towards cost optimization rather than value optimization to the customers. right? In fact, if you see how the organizations are set up, you know, let's say somebody starts a startup, and mm-hmm. this startup is predominantly looking forward for customer centricity, aligning everything with the customer mindset, giving value to the customer. But as an organization grows, you know, you have different departments set up, you have different specialists, you have compliance angle, legal angle, security angle, safety angle, ISO level, CMM level 5, and blah, 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 and hierarchies seem to form up. And then you realize that, you know, departments have their own goals. And right. that's where you are more focused towards department goals than the goals of the customer. And that's how this environment, what you actually described, is set up. Now, in that case, how do we know and how do we find out that we have to move towards customer centricity? Now, during these situations, it's a good idea to have a value stream mapping workshops, because mm-hmm. over time, there are a lot of waste that may be built up. And we have to find out those wastes. So do a value stream mapping workshops, find out what are the wastes and remove them without any emotions, because most of the time, the hindrance for the value stream mapping workshop is basically those activities which we are still doing, mm-hmm. which may be waste, but we don't want to let them go because it might cost us some job losses, for example, right? Understood. So we have to also set up that kind of a culture, and that's where agility comes in, to be more self-aware about our value stream and then let go of those things which does not add value and bring more awareness towards our customers, towards our user, and thus giving more value to them.
So I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
What I also wanted to understand from you is, along with shipping the deliverables, to also make sure the top level who are still, let's say if they're using Waterfall, and the team that is in the trenches is trying to be a little different than someone at the top?
Yeah. So if I understand your question right, so basically what you're trying to ask is that how do we deal with the leadership at the top?
Yeah. Yes.
Right? In terms of agile adoption.
Exactly.
Right. Perfect. So, yeah. So the leaders need to be trained about the gains of the agility. Most of the time, what happens is these responsibilities are generally delegated. You know, you may not see in a conventional project, leaders have an active role mm-hmm. or you may see, but most of the time you may not see that. Now, what Agile actually helps us, especially some of the frameworks like SAFe, they actually start the transformation by giving trainings to the leaders, a comprehensive training to the leaders. Mm-hmm. And so with the help of these trainings, they understand the value of the framework. They understand what agility is. They understand that agility is not a silver bullet. The best agility will do is to show a mirror where we are, is to show and make us aware where we are. And then we also have to set up the culture of agility in terms of mindset to move towards where we want to go. So in a nutshell, what I'm saying is giving trainings to them, have a clear responsibilities for the leaders. How are they going to lead this transformation of agile? Mm-hmm. Will actually help in these kind of situations. And it's a good idea to have somebody external who can actually show them the results that have been achieved in a similar domain where this context is, and how the business scenario have been improved by adopting agile frameworks.
Right. I see a point there, and I think I have to try that out. Now, another question that I wanted to ask to you specifically is, which method do I choose? What I wanted to check with you is, so far we've been understanding how to tackle management, leadership, all of that, and you've given some wonderful insights on how do we go about that. Now, let's say a customer is asking me to go with a deterministic approach. Now, they will usually come back to us and tell us, you know what, be flexible, but also give me certain dates. Is that possible? How do I go about handling my customers? Because we're typically talking about being customer-centric. What advice do you have for us?
So if customer would like to know that what can be achieved by these dates, right? Then how do we deal with that?
So
we do have in a simple scenario, in the Scrum scenario, we have tools like burn down charts, which actually give you a very simple way of understanding and forecasting where we can be by this date. So it's as simple as if I am actually going in my car, let's say 60 kilometers per hour from Bangalore to Mysore. And if my rate is consistent, let's say 60 kilometers per hour, then I might reach a distance of 180 kilometers in 3 hours. So it's as simple as that by using a burn down chart.
Now, based on what you've said, to me, it looks like another utility where I can look at my expenditure rate. I'm talking about the burn down chart here and say, if we can carry on at the current rate, this is when we are going to run out of money.
Yes.
Is that all that is, or is there more to this burn down chart?
No, that's it. That's right. How it is, provided that this rate is proper. So we have to invest our time to find out that this rate that we are getting, 60 kilometers per hour or 50 kilometers per hour or 40 kilometers per hour, that rate has to be proper. So if you have a proper rate, your forecasting would be also more or less quite appropriate, with the help of which you can provide some data to the customer that, you know, we might reach, let's say, to Mysore from 2 hours 45 minutes to, let's say, 3 hours 15 minutes. Some kind of a range you can actually give, something like that.
Understood. Now, for me, the most important question is this: is Agile only for software, or can it be used for all kinds of, across all kinds of industries?
Yeah, actually, Agile is seen to be more relevant for the software because of a reason that we have less clarity about the scope in software-related projects. Basically, for example, hardware-related projects, more or less the scope is fixed. And when we have this scope fixed, we may see less advantages in the investment of Agile frameworks. So Agile is seen to be valuable in the hardware-related projects as well. In fact, in Germany, when we were dealing with a project of shifting the plant from one location to other, even the Scrum was implemented. So, but it's predominantly seen more usable, valuable in those scenarios wherein we don't understand the scope right now, and we will evolve the scope as we go along. So from that perspective, it is seen that it is more used in software, but it is applicable equally in other domains as well. But the ROI may not be as much.
Which brings me to my next question, which is, can I ever mix both? We've seen typically both approaches also work. Is it advisable to mix waterfall and agile, or do you keep them separate?
Yeah. Basically, see, can I just tell you a small story, Sharad?
Of course.
Okay, perfect. So there was this guy who was actually going across the road, and by mistake, he actually fell on a septic tank. Okay. And he was like, you know, what should I do now? And he started shouting, fire, fire, fire. And then there were some people going and crossing the path, and they actually heard that somebody saying fire, 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 although they couldn't locate the person, but they, you know, called the fire brigade, and the fire brigade came, and then they heard him, and somehow they actually took this person out. And they said, okay, everything was fine. Why were you saying fire, fire? Where is the fire? And this is what he says, that, you know, if I would have said shit, 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 nobody would have come. Right? So basically what we are saying is, we have to use our common sense to the context that we are dealing with. And it's a good idea to mix the approaches if it makes sense. I have specially experienced mixing myself, both the approaches, mm-hmm. and then dealing with the context. And that's what I said, that, you know, Agile is a framework. And you add right. on top of what makes sense to create certain kind of a framework for yourself, for your context, so that the values could be seen and going ahead with that scenario.
Perfect. Now, moving on, I yep. want to pick your brain a little bit about Kanban as well. How okay. does it fit into the Agile framework, and what is Kanban all about?
Yeah, so Kanban is actually having a connection with Lean, which was started by Taichi Ono mm-hmm. in Toyota. And the context there is to, the context of Lean is to kind of, you know, optimize the value stream by eliminating waste. Yeah. So Kanban right. is more flow oriented. You know, you need to analyze your value stream, and you have to use Kanban to improve the flow of the system. So Kanban helps you to improve the flow of the system by different techniques like visualization, because if you can visualize, then you know where the problems are, by limiting work in progress so that you can improve your throughput, by managing queue length so that mm-hmm. you reduce your batch size to add more value at a certain time to the customer. So that's where Kanban helps. So in a nutshell, what we are saying is, stop starting and start finishing. And that will help to improve the throughput of the system, Sharat.
Brilliant. We're almost at the end of our session. So I wanna ask you one important question, which is what I ask all my speakers as well. What is overrated about Agile? What is underrated about Agile?
Okay. So you also had Agile speakers before? Because it's the same question.
Not really. You're my first Agile speaker. So
okay.
overrated okay. and underrated about this framework.
Okay, perfect. So, see, underrated aspect is more about the way people understand about Agile. So I think they should understand that Agile is just the mirror. Agile will not solve the problem. Agile will just show the mirror, and we need to sit together and solve the problem. Now, this word is used more and more often in the industry, and mm-hmm. people seem to think that they need to follow this because their bosses are telling them, without understanding what is the benefit that this framework is going to bring along. And those are some things which have been the norms now. And we also see it in our company. So those things needs to be avoided. It's a good idea to find out the why part of Agile, which Simon Sinek also says, we have to know, first of all, why are we doing it before getting into it. And this also connects with my story of taking GMAT 7 times. Right, I took mm-hmm. GMAT 7 times, and the 7th time I got a very good score. And the 7th time, actually, I asked that, why do I need to do MBA? And I did not have a great answer. Right. So if I would have asked this question when I started my GMAT preparation, possibly I would have done something else. So we need to be clear about why Agile, what mm-hmm. benefit it is going to bring. And understand agility from the principles rather than from the practice and maneuver your way by following the principles. I think that should be the journey forward.
Right, right. And what is overrated about it?
Yeah, overrated is the word itself, Sharath. The word, the way we use word. You know, I've seen multiple leaders saying, okay, now you are using agile, so do this. Now you are using agile, so do that as well. So somehow people seem to think that if you are doing agile, that means you can do everything. We have to understand what agile means. Actually, agile also means certain kind of discipline. Agile does not mean only flexibility.
Got it.
We have to have a discipline, for example, of the time box that we have, because unless we have that discipline, we will not be able to become predictable. And the companies for which we work for would like us to be predictable so that they can trust us. They can trust on our timelines. And if we are using the word agile, which is of course overrated in terms of, you know, accommodating everything whenever the requirement comes, then we are kind of playing with the way we are predictable to our customers.
You've shared a lot of information, a lot of tidbits around how do we navigate, especially when we have to get buy-ins from the top management, from our customers, etc. So thank you so much. Anything that you want to tell our listeners?
Yeah, you're welcome, Sharath, and thank you for inviting me to have my mind share. So to our listeners, I think, see, agile is very, very simple, and we have been doing agility. We have been agile in the way we maneuver the roads, and it's all in there. But sometimes we get fixated in the way we deal with life. It's a good idea to have some meditation exercises, yoga exercises, inculcate the knowledge of different streams, learn something new, and that would, or learn some music, travel different places, and all these different diverse experiences kind of gives you an platform to be agile in your thinking. And when that sets in, you actually discover that your journey may have changed and you become more self-aware about yourself. So please invest in being more self-aware, in being more agile, and that's the way you can be agile.
That was a very great way to end the show, Jatinder. Thank you so much. And I'll see you in the office very soon this year.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. And wish you a great Happy New Year, Sharath, and our listeners.